Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience The Good Life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends from perspectives of hope in Jesus Christ. How does God lead a woman whose mother was a singer in Taiwan and whose father learned English from a Bible while studying for his PhD? How does God lead that woman to study school psychology at two of America's top universities before eventually serving in an organization that facilitates microfinance, education, and youth empowerment? This is the story of Vivian Su, who, like Christ in Philippians 2, empties herself for others. We pause, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, The Good Life Radio. The reason we have this program is to share the love of Christ, to let you know, to remind you, dear friend, that there is always hope in Jesus, no matter how tough things might seem to be. There is hope in the Lord, that God loves you and that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Vivian Su, reaches out to you. Will you turn to him? Would you open your heart to Jesus? That's the call. That's our prayer. And my friend, if you already know the Lord, I believe you're going to be built up, encouraged today. Vivian Su is chair of Institutional Donor Relations for Peer Servants. She worked in school psychology as a school psychologist. She's also an independent consultant at The Pampered Chef. She graduated from Cornell University in psychology and earned her master's in school psychology at Teachers College, Columbia University. Vivian is married to Jimmy. They have two sons, Jasper and Cooper. Vivian, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Danny.
And Cooper, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Hello.
These are one of those special moments when we have mother and son. Vivian, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a little town called Fishkill, New York. It's just north of Manhattan and south of Albany. So born and raised in Fishkill, New York.
What was it like growing up there in Fishkill?
It was good, you know. It was a good town. There were not very many Asians in my town, so I stood out when I was in school, particularly in high school. But it was a good place to be, a solid place to be raised up. My backyard, I saw mountains, and it was a wonderful place to grow up.
Who would you say, Vivian, influenced you most in your growing up years?
That's such a good question. Growing up, I would say my dad, and then also probably my youth worker, Alan Perkins, actually. He was a single guy who worked for IBM. And he invested in the youth group that we had, and he always, you know, did Bible studies with us, took us to different places, and just loved on us. So growing up, that's who I would say.
Sounds like you were raised in a church environment.
Yes. So I was raised in a church environment. My maternal grandfather was a pastor in Taiwan. So my mom grew up in a Christian family. And my father came to Christ when he was in grad school. And when I was born, they were attending a Nazarene church, a small Nazarene church in Fishkill. But then my dad worked for IBM. There were more and more Asians that came, more Chinese people. And so we started a house church after, in the afternoons in our house. So they would come, there would be time of worship, there would be a Bible study, and then what would happen is there were too many people for my tiny little house, and so we started to rent different parts of church buildings, fellowship halls. So while they were having worship service, we would have Sunday school and flip-flop. And so I was raised in a Christian family, going to church Sundays. Fridays was Bible study, prayer meetings, and different things. So, yeah.
Share a little bit about your faith journey. How did you grow in your relationship with Christ from the time of Alan Perkins and then on, you know, into your adulthood?
I think that's a great question. I would say, growing up and attending Sunday school and youth group on a regular basis in church, you know, Sunday morning worship, set a foundation. I would say that when I hit, I was baptized probably in sixth grade, right? It was all I knew growing up in a Christian family. Then I went off to college, and then I had to make my own decisions. Do I choose to go to church on Sunday mornings? Do I choose to seek out a Christian fellowship? Do I seek out going to Bible studies and things like that? It was my choice. And I chose, yes, I want to. And I found a great fellowship at Cornell Chinese Bible Study, great group of young believers that were all seeking to love Christ and follow Christ. And, you know, all of a sudden I find myself going to prayer meetings on my own because I wanted to pray versus this is what you should do, right? And pursuing Bible studies and growing in a fellowship and leading, you know, in that environment. And so I would say that my faith grew a lot in college. And then it was a very comfortable environment because the fellowship was large and the church was beautiful. And our pastor there, Pastor Chuck Tompkins, did a great work in preaching and in, you know, working with our students. And then I went to grad school and again had to make the choice. And in graduate school, I attended Redeemer Presbyterian with Tim Keller in the very beginning stages of when they were small. And also, again, seeking to be in part of a Bible study and then growing, you know. And I would say at that point, it was not as comfortable because now I was amongst a million people in New York City. And do I live out my faith, right? So I was challenged, will you live out your faith and be faithful to that? And then I got married in 97. Jimmy and I met in college, and so we served together in Bible study and fellowship and courted throughout, dated 7 years. And when we got married and we came here, then we attended church together and again grew even more. That's when I really began to serve in church ministry, in women's ministry, in missions ministry, worship ministry, adult Bible study. And growing even more. But given that, you know, that I think is what really launched my faith.
What led you to study psychology?
That's a good question, too. I think my dad always wanted me to be an electrical engineer just like him, but my brain is not wired that way. And I think it was the encouragement of so many people saying, you're so good with people. You're so good at listening to people, walking alongside of them, counseling them. I think you should go into school psych. So I said, all right, we'll figure it out. When I went to college, I was an undetermined major. So it was, you know, just liberal arts. And as I kept taking classes, I was like, I really do like psychology. I like what it has to offer. And then I wasn't really sure where is it going to lead, right? Because having a basis of psych, you could go many different ways. But that was more it. It was encouragement of different people in my life saying, I think you should check this out. Try this.
Psychology, the pursuit, the academic journey, overlapped by your spiritual growth, your relationship with Jimmy, church involvement, Redeemer Presbyterian Church, Tim Keller, your move to Massachusetts. When did God lead you from your work in schools in psychology to peer servants?
I think I resigned from my position in school psych in 2010 because there was a collision of many different things. My father had passed unexpectedly back in 2003. And I was constantly going back and forth from Massachusetts to New York to help my mother. My children were young. Cooper was just 2 years old in 2010, and I wanted to be available for my kids. And Jimmy was traveling a lot, and it just seemed as if God was saying, you know what? You need to stop working. Be home with the kids. Be available. You know, bring the pace of life, the crazy pace of life, down. And we felt good about that, you know. And when we were getting married, part of the premarital counseling, Pastor Chuck from college years actually married us. And one of the pieces of good advice he gave was try to live on one income as best as you can, because you never know, illness or you want to stay home or whatever. So it was an easy transition to make at that point. So then I was home. I was involved in the schools. I was involved more in church. And Peer Servants was one of the partners of the church that I was attending at the time. And so I got to hear, and I was invited to attend one of their banquets to listen to just different people share testimonies and messages and encouragement. And I was just so struck. I went to a banquet in 2019. And the speaker, Dr. Herma, she was just phenomenal. And her message was so challenging. What do you have to give to God? How can he use you? What do you have? Just give it up to him. He will use you. And I walked in one day, and I knew Todd Engelson, Todd and Leslie, who's the president of Peer. And I said, hey, Todd, I'm kind of interested in volunteering. I'm not sure for what, but I'm interested. I love what you've presented. I love what you do. I don't know what I have to offer, but let's meet. And he was so excited, and he came up with a million different things. And, you know, we settled with this particular one of being chair of institutional donor relations, mostly given my love for interacting with churches and foundations and nonprofits. And I don't have any problem asking people for money. So that's what we landed on.
I'm sure Todd is delighted in your lack of fear in asking people for money, but for a reason. Mm-hmm. There's a purpose that drives the call to response, really an invitation to participate in the great work of the Lord through Peer Servants. You're listening to Vivian Sue. She is chair of institutional donor relations for Peer Servants. You can find out more about Peer Servants at peerservants.org. When we come back, we'll talk more about the ministry or the organization. We'll talk a little bit about microfinancing, education, youth empowerment. She talks about seasons in life, seasons of change, seasons of overlap spiritually, career-wise, but change. My friend, are you at a point of potential change? Well, if you are, the Lord has a word of hope and strength for you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Vivian Sue is the chair of Institutional Donor Relations for Peer Servants, an organization with a mission to extend God's kingdom through partnerships around the world for economic, spiritual, and social transformation. Peer Servants accomplishes the mission through microfinance, education, and youth empowerment. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Thanks for joining us. You can get this podcast at major podcast platforms at drdanny.live. And again, to find out more about Peer Servants, peerservants.org. Vivian, who are some of your team members?
So Todd and Leslie Engelson. Todd is the president, and Leslie is there. We have so many. We have close to 300 volunteers all over the world, right? Close to 30 countries represented. And truly, Todd and Leslie are the only paid employees for this entire organization, which is something that I absolutely love because so many of the volunteers are passionate. And this is how we make it work. So we know that anytime people give money towards whatever, 100% of it goes towards that. But I have so many colleagues. I have colleagues that work with peer empowerment. That's Vicky Dierdorf. I have Sandy Smith, who is jack of all trades. And there's so many of them. I can't even possibly name them all.
Why microfinance, education, and youth empowerment?
We first started as only microfinance. And as we start working with our clients and partners, we realize that extending the kingdom takes more than just microfinance. It really does. In order to make change, palpable change, good change for the kingdom, we need to hit the youth. We need to work with them. We need to work with the issues of water and food security, because if you're hungry, you're not going to pay attention to anything else until we can satisfy that need for water and food. And then education, right? That's the basis of being able to get anywhere, to be able to understand, to empower kids, let's say in the Philippines, right? Visions of Hope is working with tribal schools. And these children, majority of them don't get to go to school. They all have to work to make a living. But if we can make a difference for them very, very early on, that is something. In Guatemala, same thing. The majority of the children live in the largest garbage dump of all of Latin America, right? And so we don't want them to feel like they're trash. We call them treasures. And then we come and we educate them. And they grow into these beautiful, beautiful young people who want to make a difference. So we look at things like that. We have incredible peer teens all over. And they've established different missions, different things to do. Like in Uganda, they'll go into the prisons and they'll be working with inmates there. They'll be cleaning up schools. They'll be, helping out widows. Beautiful story of the teens just coming together on their free time, right? We need to go help this widow. We need to help her clean her house. We need to help bring food. We need to help cook food. We need to listen and spend time with her. Beautiful things, beautiful stories. And we look and just say, you know what? Microfinance, we're doing great work with microfinance, but we need to go deeper. And if we go deeper, there's so much more richness in extending God's love and mercy.
What is the framework of microfinancing?
The framework, the easiest way to explain it is that you lend someone who needs money to be able to do whatever they need to do. As little as $10, right? $10 goes a long way in the poorest of the poor countries. So what we like to do at Peer Servants is to work with local microfinance people because they know their people well. So we are working in partnership with them. And then they lend out the money to help people be able to provide for their families, right? And to be able to raise a business. And it could be something like a bakery. We recently had a baker from Guatemala who her name was Gloria, and she rose up with a little microfinance loan, right, and was able to then provide for her family and education for her children. And then when they successfully start their business and then start getting revenue, then they come back for a bigger loan, more and more loans. And so the whole premise is to help people better themselves and better their community and better the entire country eventually.
Do they actually pay back?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They really do. They do. I have to say, the caveat is that with the pandemic, it was very difficult. Incredibly difficult.
Understandable.
Yeah.
What do you think happens inside a person mm-hmm. when they receive a loan?
Mm-hmm.
Now, would I be, do they write out basic business plans to submit in order to receive that loan?
Mm-hmm. Some do, some don't, right? And I think it's up to the locals.
You leave it to them.
You leave it to them to interview and see, right? And clearly, if you're not going to pay back a loan, we're not going to give you another loan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is transformation. There is definitely transformation. I have to say, like, let's say in India, one of our partners in India, right? They are primarily Muslim and in Hindu, and yet they look and just see they can see the love of Christ when they're given a loan. And the people that come, you know, we're not coming after you with sticks to like mm-hmm. say, pay back this loan,
yes.
right? There is such compassion and walking alongside and providing more than that.
Because there's mentorship involved.
There is mentorship.
In the provision
yes.
of the loan. And I think that's what I was driving
yes.
towards too, is the transformation of a person who sees the business get off the ground,
mm-hmm.
see customers.
Yes.
Benefiting from the product, whatever
yes.
it is,
mm-hmm.
and seeing the transformation of a community within a community. Even.
That's right.
And then even the ability at some point to pay back the loan
That's
and then
right.
grow the business.
That's right. That's right.
What stories can you share, one or two, that you've experienced seeing that through the work of peer servants?
I think one of the exciting things, I'll go back to Guatemala, is teaching the people there how to farm, okay? So food scarcity and really addressing that issue of food scarcity and teaching them how what to plant, what's going to work in your area with your climate, with your rain, with, you know, when is the heavy rain season? When should you plant? How do you plant? How do you irrigate? When do you, you know, what do you have to do to be successful in doing that? And so we're in the beginning stages, you know, first few years of teaching people how to plant, not only to teach them how to eat better nutritionally for themselves, but then to take the excess and sell it and then make a profit, right? Then to come back and just say, I can do more with what I have. But then to learn more about, oh, you know what? This really doesn't work. This plant, not so much. This plant, this is great, right? And then to teach them how to cook, right? Instead of everything doesn't have to be fried, although fried food, yummy. But, you know, everything doesn't have to be fried. And then they're empowered. Right? They're empowered to provide food for their family. They're empowered when they go and sell at the markets. And then they receive a return and you're like, wow, I can make a living, right? So many stories of people who were drug addicts, alcoholics, abusers, and they've changed their lives coming to Christ through this, right? So I think about in the Philippines, there's a guy named Eddie who has a bike kiosk. And he was a terrible person in the very beginning. He'll be the first to tell you. He was an alcoholic. He treated his wife terribly. And then he came to Christ and was just a completely transformed man. And then got a microfinance loan and, grew his business, and then he has a bike that has his store, and he's able to go into different places to sell many different things and then provide. And so it's things like that that you say, wow, God is working. We are providing a way for the kingdom of heaven to come to earth through these people.
Microfinancing, wow. $10 can go a long way.
Exactly.
$100 can go a long way. You're listening to Vivian Sue. She is the chair of institutional donor relations for peer servants. A striking thing about peer servants is they are run by the passion of volunteers. That's the fuel. The financial part goes to those nations and those organizations that they partner with around the world. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the broader scope. How far-reaching is the vision of peer servants? And what are the parameters that keep peer servants focused? And I haven't forgotten the transitions that you might be going through in life. It happens in different seasons. And Vivian Sue responded to God in her period of transition. I hope you will too. PeerServants.org. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
We're talking about peer servants. The organization accomplishes the mission through microfinance, education, and youth empowerment. Vivian Sue, the chair of institutional donor relations, joins us today. They are reaching nations such as Burundi, Guatemala, India, Moldova, Peru, Philippines, South Sudan, Sri Lanka, Uganda, Zambia, and more. If you want to find out more about peer servants, go to peerservants.org. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this program in its entirety as a podcast, major podcast platform. Just go to drdanny.live. Vivian, how far-reaching is the vision?
How far-reaching is the vision? I think it's pretty far-reaching. You know, we talk about wanting to transform lives economically, socially, spiritually, right? We're going wide and we're going deep with the partners that we have in the different countries that service thousands upon thousands of people. So I would say we're going pretty wide with our vision. I think that when we look at volunteers, we're always looking for more volunteers, right? There are so many different things that you can do. We'll always find a place for you. And people are gifted in many different ways, right? Different talents, different gifts. Whatever you bring to the table, we'll find a place for you.
And you're an example of that. You were hopefully being led by your parents into a certain field in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
But then others came around you and said, well, you have a gift. It's like the Lord has touched you with ability with people and how the Lord, through the affirmation of others and through your lived through experiences, have come to where you are today. Someone might be saying, yeah, could could God use me at Peer Servants? And I hear
absolutely. Absolutely. I would go back also and just say that, you know, after I moved to Massachusetts and I was attending a church and really working very closely with the missions department, I was working with Pastor Jeanette Yep, Auntie Jeanette, and my heart for missions grew, right? Before it was just like, oh yeah, there are missionaries out there. But when you're working so closely with the partners, and you interact with partners from all over the world, you hear about their day in, day out, what they do. Some of it is very tedious. Some of it, not much of it, is very glorious, right? A lot of it is just tedious everyday living in a foreign country with foreign people. And then you see that they're doing it for the love of Jesus, right? And then my heart becomes more and more broken. My eyes begin to see more as God sees. My desire really is to see the kingdom come. And so it's different exposure to that, that all of a sudden I was like, wow. And Peer Servants, working with the poorest of the poor in 10 countries and seeing transformed lives, blows my mind.
This allows us to push the pause button, figuratively speaking. Someone may be doing that or may be needing to do that, may sense this is the time to do that. To step back and ask the question, what is God doing? Mm-hmm. What is God doing around me? Mm-hmm. What is God doing in me? Mm-hmm. What has the Lord been doing
right.
to prepare me for such a time as this? And again, going back to your example, in moments of transition, the Lord doesn't waste mm-hmm. the experiences that he's invested or the way he's cultivated our lives and our experiences. Someone today might also say, I'm interested in finding out more about Peer Servants. I'm interested about potentially volunteering. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in potentially supporting this work. I like the idea mm-hmm. of how so much of the resources go to the mission field.
That's right.
What would you say to someone who is piqued in their curiosity in that way?
I would say, let's go, Danny. I would say, give me a call. I'll meet you for coffee. Let's talk. Because I think you've got the essence of when you get to the point of asking, God, what do you want to do with my one life that you've given me? This gift of life, how have you gifted me with all of my experiences that have led me up to here? What do I have to offer? And God says, just open up your hands. Let me just take what I've already given you and blow your mind, right? So I would say anybody who's interested, absolutely, come on down. I would love to meet you. I would love to explore with you how God can use you, how you can do things with Peer Servants. There's so many different ways. I tell you, and what's your bent, right? Sometimes I always ask people, they're like, oh, we really just want to give money. I'm like, great, what's your bent? Is it microfinance? Is it business? Is it education? Is it youth? Is it water, food, security? Whatever it is, I got a place for it, right? The youth, I got to talk about the youth because I love the youth. We have a Peer Teen Scholars branch. And it blows my mind because living in the United States, in the richest country ever, where universities cost so much money, we can educate somebody in Africa for $2,000 a year. Nothing, right? $8,000, you have a college education paid for. You have transformed a life, a family, a community. And I can't even tell you how many of these teens, they're ophthalmologists, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're economists, all fields, teachers, they're doing phenomenal work because they were given the opportunity, right? And you look and you just say, wow, I had no idea.
And we have been given opportunities. And
yes.
Therefore, we are where we are today. Someone
that's right
supported us, sacrificed for us.
Prayed for us,
right? Saw potential.
Yes.
Saw an opportunity that we ourselves didn't see.
That's right. Called it out in you, right?
What is the Lydia Award?
Oh, thank you for asking. So the Lydia Award is a it looks at our microfinance partners, and we have teams for each country. And those teams nominate one of their microfinance clients that they think have an incredible story to tell. And so it's really hard. I'm glad I'm not on that team of trying to figure out who gets to win or who gets nominated. But we narrow it down to three different award finalists, and we tell their story, and we get to vote. So people vote online, and then at our Lydia banquet, people vote again. We tally everything up. We have a first place, second place, third place, and we're able to give extra finances to those people.
Recently, speaking of the Lydia Award, there was a Lydia Celebration
Yes.
banquet. It's an annual banquet.
Yes.
What happened?
It was phenomenal. First of all, it was a sold-out event. And we had some teens like Cooper who came and helped serve dinner. So our Lydia Awards finalists were from Guatemala, Uganda, and the Philippines. So we got food from those different countries. So people got a taste of that. And then we moved into a program of really highlighting what God is doing around the world. And we highlighted also these three Lydia finalists. People voted, and our winner was from Uganda. And Monica started with a $10 loan, and she built this beautiful farm and now is able to provide for her family and get her kids to be able to have an education and create 6 full-time jobs for people and some part-time jobs. And so we celebrated what God is doing in this world.
Vivian, you mentioned that Cooper was there helping as a volunteer, a volunteer-driven ministry.
Yes.
Serving foods. Cooper, what kind of foods were you serving, and did you have a favorite?
We were serving like empanadas and samosas. We had seasoned rice, chicken. It was really good. all of the foods. I think I liked the empanadas the most. They were really flaky. The filling inside was like, it was savory, but also a tinge of sweetness. And the people around me that was helping, they were really kind and nice, welcoming. They didn't even know me. Like, I just walked in. I'm like, I'm going to help you guys. I'm a volunteer. And they were like, all right, sure. And so we go around like waiters, around filling pitchers, and then in the back room, we just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a very welcoming environment,
mm-hmm.
and you've had the right heart and spirit to do that, and the Lord has led you, and I love Cooper's voice.
Wow. Me too.
That's a great voice. Reciprocity Award, mm-hmm. Vivian, what is that?
The Reciprocity Award, it's part of the Lydia Awards. And that is exactly what it is. You know, the Reciprocity Award looks at volunteers and the partners that we're with and enriching one another, right? So that's one of our things. We have partnerships, we have volunteers, and we have reciprocity. So it's not so much, what can I just do for you? It's, what else can you do for us, right? And so when we look at our volunteers and we take note of paying attention, you know, oh, Cooper's doing such a good job serving so kindly. Oh, Danny, you know, was doing this and doing that. And people take note, and they vote for people to, just taking note of how people are serving one another.
I think that's an example of what we need more of today, mm-hmm. more broadly, not only in an organization mm-hmm. like Peer Servants, that's exemplary, but more broadly in society.
You're right, because there's no servant mindset, right? Everybody wants power, and they want, you know, and I think that is the model of Christ, who doesn't come to lord it over, but he came as a servant.
You can find out more about Peer Servants. They are living out the name of their organization. You're listening to Vivian Sue. Vivian is the chair of institutional donor relations for Peer Servants, and you can find out more about Peer Servants. You can get in touch with her and her team at peerservants.org. When we come back, challenging times. We move a little bit more towards something that may be a bit more personal, but to the degree that the Lord would so guide, and in the way that the Lord might guide you in this time. A microfinance venture that started with a Mexican organization, La Buena Semilla, the Good Seed, grew reciprocally from the 90s from 10 volunteers to over 200 today. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Wandering the road of desperate life,
aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life
what
today.
What is it that God can do from La Buena Semilla? What can God do from the good seed, a seed that is planted, a seed that may seem so minuscule to you but is so magnanimous to someone else? Well, peer servants, they look back in their history and see how over the decades, 10 volunteers grew to nearly 300 volunteers today. Vivian Sue joins us sharing heart to heart in this time, but heart to heart with passion for the work of peer servants. You can find out more about peer servants at peerservants.org. Vivian, how has the Lord, speaking of the seasons of life and the context of change, mm-hmm. how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
He's my constant companion, right? I think through seasons of change, through the early death of my father, you know, who was so important to me and so important to the church that he built, to the believers, in living a life of integrity. I think too, currently my mother has Alzheimer's dementia, not really Alzheimer's, but on the dementia, and that that season of life of caring for her, that journey, raising teenagers in this world that is so unfriendly towards Christ. God reminds me, he has got me. He's got my kids. He's got us in the palm of his hands. He is our constant companion. He is our source of strength. He is our source of joy. And he is with us when we're grieving.
Someone might ask, in a whisper even, a whisper of curiosity. Vivian, how can you be so sure? You speak with such certainty, such security. Where does that come from?
I just know. I think the foundation of being raised in the church, the foundation of reading scripture and being seeped in the word, the foundation of having people pour their lives into mine to mentor me, to encourage me, to study with me, going and doing life with me through ups and downs and reminding me that God is with me, pointing out scripture to me, it's just true. I know it in my body. I know it in my bones. I just know it to be true.
A friend who's listening might be thinking, that sounds so attractive to me. Mm. I certainly don't have that experience. I'm nowhere near that. But would it be possible for me in this season of my life, whatever that season might be, to even walk towards an experience in that way? What would you say?
I would say absolutely. I would say, God wants you. God loves you. You just need to open up your heart. Call on him, and he will come to you. I think it's possible, for sure. He wants to help you. He wants you to experience the love that he has for you.
But Vivian, they might say, mm-hmm. you don't know where... what I've done. Mm. You don't know where I've been. Mm. You don't know
what I'm
capable of doing on the inside, my thoughts. Mm.
I would say you and I are the same person, my friend. I would say I have the same propensity. I have the same, you know, same propensity to do wrong and evil. And, you know, God doesn't care. He loves you regardless. Loves you regardless of your past, of your present. He wants to redeem you. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants you to be in right relationship with one another and with him. Don't let that hold you back. If you think you're not good enough, you're not clean enough, you're not whatever, just come to Jesus. He wants you. He's got you.
And so someone says, really? I might be open to taking a step, just a step. I don't know where it's going to lead. How would I know? What do you say to that?
I say, take that step. Take that baby step. Reach out your hand. Jesus will hold your hand. And however slow you want to take it, he will walk with you. If you want to go running to him, run, he'll catch you. If you're not sure, that's okay. Take it step by step.
I want to ask you to pray for that that friend of ours. And yet I haven't forgotten. Someone else today might be in a season of transition. They might already know the Lord and may need some encouragement, maybe a prayer. As you've spoken for a potential new season in their life. Would you lead in a prayer?
Sure. Vivian, please. It'd be my pleasure. Father, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you for the life that you've given us. We thank you for the people that you place in our lives. And Father, I want to pray for that person who is unsure about reaching out to you. I pray that they would take the courage, that leap of faith, that baby step, Lord, towards you, and to know that you'll be there, that it won't be an empty door that opens with nothing on the other side, but Father, that you desire to be in relationship with us. And so I pray for those who are on the cusp, who are questioning, who don't have it all together, who are ashamed, who are struggling, Father, that they would have the courage to take that one little step towards you, Lord. And that it would receive your peace, your joy, your love. And Father, I pray for my friends out there who are in a season of change in a season of unknowing what to do with the rest of their life at this juncture, Father, that you would open their eyes, that they would seek you and say, Lord, what do I have to offer you? What can you take with my two little fish? What can you make out of the rest of my life? Father, I pray that we have the eyes to see as you see and the heart to have what you want us to have, Lord, and to serve others. Father, I pray for just the desire to do what you want us to do and to serve well, to serve and love one another well, love our neighbors well, and to love you well in the midst. Father, so we thank you. We thank you so much for all that you've given us and for Jesus and for the love that you give to us to give to others, Lord. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. A tender prayer, a sensitive prayer from one who knows what it is like to live with Christ, live and serve others, but live in the world that we all live in and how we need the strength and guidance of the Lord. You're listening to Vivian Sue at Peer Servants, and you can find out more at peerservants.org. Vivian, thank you for praying. As we begin to wrap up today, you've been involved in many things, but focused in a way that is galvanizing. Mm. What does a person like Vivian Sue do to relax, to enjoy respite?
Oh, I love to eat. I love to eat and try new foods. And so it gives me such great joy to do that, to find different places and new things. And my family and I just love to do that. So that gives me great respite. I love heading up to Rockport and to walk the beach. I love a good spa day. I love curling up with a good book. I love just spending time with some really good friends. But yeah, that's what I do.
I can feel and see the joy in your heart and the refreshment that you receive even by talking about it. Mm. Vivian, you're a blessing. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Hope-filled words from Vivian Sue and Cooper Sue, peerservants.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to drdanny.live for more resources. To join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, drdanny.live, and I thank you in advance. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Vivian Sue and Cooper Sue, peerservants.org. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.